This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We've been working with Youth Radio on a series about money and the juvenile justice system. It's called Double Charged. Today, a story about restitution, the process by which victims of crimes can be reimbursed for their losses. Exactly how that process works, though, and the amount of money involved varies by state, as does the ability of juvenile offenders to pay. Youth Radio's Sarah Quevedo has the story.
Just that right there. This is a little burn mark on the floor.
Ricky Brum is standing with one of my producers behind a furniture store in Manteca, California. And to be honest, it's a little awkward. He doesn't really want to be here. Last February, Brum set some cardboard boxes on fire in this alleyway.
So how many boxes would you say? About like four or five?
No, it was filled with boxes. Probably like seven littler boxes instead of a big box. Like, I just sat there and I was like, bam.
That bam changed Ricky Brum's life. He was 15 when he set the fire, and it was his first time getting in trouble with the law. He was lucky. His charges were reduced to a misdemeanor. He went on probation and served no time in juvenile hall. Brum and his mom, Leanne, thought the worst was behind them. But then, while meeting with their public defender, they found out about restitution.
They gave us this big packet of papers, and we
thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's not a joke. I said, really? They can do this? She said, well, they can ask.
Sitting at his kitchen table, Ricky Brum flips through the restitution claim. It's got nearly 1,400 items. Even though the fire department's report says there was no damage to anything in the furniture store, the owner claimed his entire inventory was smoke damaged.
All right, we got a table lamp, $149, sectional sofa, $2,000.
Brum's family is fortunate. They own a house and have homeowner's insurance. And the insurance company went to bat for them, negotiating the restitution down to $10,000, which their insurance paid for. Christine Kroger, Ricky Brum's attorney, says the bill was originally $221,000.
Which is impossible for a kid to pay.
Some states limit restitution for juveniles. But in California, there are no limits to how much money minors can owe victims, often on top of serving time behind bars.
A lot of people give lip service to rehabilitation of the minor. But what we see is it's all about punishment. For example, there's a whole caseload of kids who have satisfied every other term and condition of their probation, but they just don't get off probation because they still owe money.
Restitution can't be erased by claiming bankruptcy, and if it still exists by the time offenders turn 21, it can turn into a civil judgment. Victims can garnish up to 25% of offenders' wages, can take their tax refunds, and place liens on property.
So they were out here swimming, having their little barbecue.
That's Sue Ann Coster. Her grandson threw a pool party at her house while she and her husband were away. The grandson was in high school, and one of the teens who went over to swim came back and robbed her.
I was recuperating from breast cancer, and I had done a year of chemo, and my husband had said he wanted to take me for a little trip. Well, when I came back, I was not only a victim of cancer, but I was a victim of a burglary.
The teen stole jewelry, including her husband's wedding band and a necklace Coster got as an anniversary gift. Coster won $2,600 restitution for the stolen jewelry. But there was also another $6,000 for things like mileage, lost wages, and the cost of new security upgrades to her home, including spaying and neutering her new watchdogs, Dorothy and Toto. The offender still owes Coster about $1,000 in interest, but has otherwise paid the restitution in full, which is rare. There are no statewide statistics on juvenile restitution, but Youth Radio collected numbers from three of California's largest counties and found that less than 30% of restitution amounts are satisfied.
I think people recognize there are certain dollar amounts that are just not going to be paid at all, ever.
Roger Chan runs the East Bay Children's Law Offices in Oakland. Juvenile law, says Chan, is about reform, giving young people a chance to start over. But he argues restitution too often gets in the way because it saddles kids with unreasonably high debt. He's trying to change California's law to let judges consider a kid's ability to pay.
If you order such a huge amount of restitution to a young person who has no ability to pay it, how meaningful is that as a consequence? Is that really an effective way for the young person to be rehabilitated? Is that also something that's really beneficial to victims?
To say that juvenile restitution is complicated is an understatement. It's a process that wrestles with two competing philosophies around the idea of justice. Justice for victims who have the right to be paid for their losses, even when the offender spends time in jail. And justice for juvenile offenders who need to be held accountable, but also allowed to move on from their crimes and from the system. In Oakland, I'm Sarah Quevedo for Marketplace.
Double Charged is an investigation into the American juvenile justice system produced by Youth Radio.